It's Marketplace Tech for March 31st. I'm Ben Johnson. Today, the Bureau of Economic Analysis will release a report on personal income. It'll give us a sense of how much people around the country are bringing in. And many would argue that income inequality is a huge issue facing the country right now, maybe the main issue. Well, Stanford economist Nicholas Bloom believes that one of the driving forces behind income inequality is what he calls firm inequality, and that tech companies epitomize this. He joins me now. Nick, thanks for talking with us.
Hi there.
Okay, firm inequality. Definition?
The difference in earnings for workers across firms, and we've seen it's gone up massively over the last 30 years.
And so an example of this might be Google, Microsoft, Apple all pay at a certain area, whereas other IT firms or something like that in the middle of the U.S., for instance, wouldn't pay nearly as much.
Yes, exactly. There's increasingly what we call a winner-takes-all type outcome. We're increasingly seeing some firms do fantastically well, take off like a rocket ship, and the rest of the industry being left behind.
And you also write that this inequality you're talking about gets accelerated because a lot of tech companies outsource and automate a lot of their activities. An example you give are bus drivers who shuttle employees at tech companies. Talk about that.
Yes. Yeah, so if you think back, you know, 40 years ago, everyone from the cleaner to the janitor to the security guard to the bus driver was all employed by the big corporation. Now what we're seeing increasingly is firms are focusing on their, what they think of their core competencies. So in tech companies, that's coding. And increasingly, everybody else is no longer an employee of the company. So they may be walking around the cantina at the front door or driving you to work and back, but they don't actually work at your company anymore.
Part of the larger pattern that you're describing here is essentially just capitalism, right?
It is capitalism. So yes, that's good. You know, I'm a capitalist. I'm in favor of market forces. The only issue is, as a society, if capitalism increasingly means, you know, some people have all the earnings and there's a group left behind, do we want to do something about it? Firms themselves are trying to reduce inequality by actually paying more for lower-end jobs to try and make the firm, in a sense, a better place to work in. And the reason is, many of the kind of elite employees that these firms are after, great coders, but also more generally across the U.S., actually care that their firm's doing the right thing. And that extends to making sure their firms take care of all their employees.
Stanford economist Nicholas Bloom, his piece is part of a series in the Harvard Business Review about inequality. Professor Bloom, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
It's Silicon Valley time. Our guest today, Daniela Galarza, a senior editor at Eater. Daniela, are you ready to play the game where we try to stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news?
Totally ready.
One Hail Mary.
Oh, man.
It's not football. I'll give you that.
You've got me. I have no idea.
This is Samsung launched its new phone this week. The company's back in the game with the Samsung S8. You're an iPhone user.
I am.
What would it take to get you to switch?
You know, I want the camera to be better and I want the battery to be better.
Oh, the battery.
If that lasts 18 hours.
That's all you want?
I mean,
you would switch for 18 hours.
I'm taking a lot of photos of food out there.
What do you got for me?
$182 million.
I'm just going to guess like something lawsuit about Uber.
Oh, if only. No, it is the amount that Silicon Valley startup Impossible Foods has raised to create a meatless veggie burger that bleeds.
Yeah, the bleeding burger.
The big news is that they are using that money now to open a enormous production facility.
Like when I hear that, I just picture like a conveyor belt with someone with like a syringe shooting red dye into burger patties. That's what I picture.
But I guess they think more chefs will be interested in it because it looks like meat while it's cooking.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, I got another number for you. One new way to tattle.
You've got me again.
A security company has developed an alarm that sits in your fridge and will be triggered when anyone goes near the sandwich that you put together. What's the fridge work lunch theft situation at Eater?
It's not that bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't be installing this device?
No, though we have coworkers at The Verge and Recode that are writing about tech, and they might just do it for fun. And then publish those photos online.
Oh, man. All right. What do you got for me?
It's 4 miles an hour.
Is that the speed that water heater traveled that the little girl thought was a robot and hugged?
This is the speed of a new delivery bot from a company called Starship Technologies. This little bot is currently in use in San Francisco and D.C. and will soon be used by Domino's Pizza in Germany to deliver pizzas.
Is this the one that it looks kind of like tankish?
I think it looks a little bit like a squished down R2-D2. I guess it's 35 pounds and it can carry a few orders of food at a time. And right now it needs to be supervised
by a C-3PO shaped.
Ideally.
Daniela Galarza, she is a senior editor at Eater. Daniela, thanks for playing Silicon Tally with me.
Thanks for having me.
And by the way, we are running a whole series on hacktivism all next week. It's an interesting word, an amalgam of activism and hacking. Both of those words come with baggage, and their definition depends on perspective. Next week, we'll talk with hackers, activists, and others about hacktivism, but we also want to hear from you. How do you define hacktivism? Are you a hacktivist? If you are, what kind of hacktivism are you doing? Tweet us at Marketplace Tech with the hashtag WhatIsHacktivism. Write us an email, marketplacetech@marketplace.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.